Hello, dumplings. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly, the podcast where we dive deep into the latest beauty, wellness, and lifestyle secrets that aren't always pretty, but always real.
We're your co-hosts, Trisha and Disha.
The sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, really silly, and sassy all at the same time.
Yes, we're really silly, totally sassy, and can't wait to have you tune into this week's episode. Welcome to Let's Get Ugly.
So Moon, welcome to Let's Get Ugly. We're so excited to have you on.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
We can't wait to dive into your story. It's so multifaceted, and I think it's going to be a great one for people to tune into for sure.
I honestly can't wait to talk about you. From mentoring people to redefine their lives to your philosophy of celebrating aging, you are such a trailblazer. Can you please describe to us and our viewers and listeners the work that you do?
Absolutely. It's a pleasure. Firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's been so great to connect with fellow Indian savvy ladies, and we're stronger together. So let's start with a high five. Woo! Okay. So my name is Moon Onyx Star, as you know, and I'm a motivational speaker, a self-empowerment expert. So my aim and my mission is to really help people reclaim their power, so they can thrive and live their best lives right now. And I have decided on age empowerment as my niche because, to be honest, it's everything I stand for. It's what I represent. It's who I am. I'm 41 and I really stand into the power of that. I'm 41. Bam, mic drop. Okay. So this is really the energy and essence. When I was choosing a niche for myself, self-empowerment is a very diverse topic. So I wanted to hone in and choose something that was an authentic representation of everything I stand for. So I chose age empowerment because that is how I live my life, baby. So I do motivational talks on this topic. I've collaborated and been booked by a lot of amazing brands like Snapchat, Sweaty Betty, Stella McCartney. I've done a talk for King's College, Face Gym, Oda Wellbeing, to name a few. I also do a lot of one-to-one mentoring as well, so helping people with whatever niche areas that they'd like to enhance their life. So where do they need the most empowerment? So I help people one-to-one as well. So it could be building confidence, it could be within their careers or their personal lives. And I have a personal growth membership also. That's an online community, and on a monthly basis, we keep empowering ourselves. So day by day, week by week, I share motivational messages, gratitude prompts, and I host two online masterclasses to really help people embody that empowerment. And every month we have a different theme. So now that we're winding down the year, this theme of the month is reflection and release. So it's about looking at the year gone by, celebrating all of our achievements, and letting go of what no longer serves us so we can move into the new year with that renewed energy and just with the biggest bang.
Amazing. My first question is about childhood struggles, which is something that we saw. And we wanted to ask you, how did you get through it? How did it help you grow as a person?
That's a great question, because I think this is something we can all relate to. There's no person that's been untouched by some kind of struggle in their lives. And I think nobody has a perfect childhood either. I had a very tumultuous childhood. It was very, very rocky. And I can use the word dark because it really was. But I think what got me through it as a child is I've just always had this perspective where I try to focus on the positive. So even though I was sinking and drowning at home in my home life, it was very difficult, I still would always show up to school with a smile on my face. Laughter was medicine. Me just being with my friends, really, I think having those friendships, I had a lot of sleepovers with my friends, a lot of socializing and going out with my friends. I think friendship was a way for me to, I wouldn't say escape, but for me to just celebrate and focus on the good and the positive in my life. So having beautiful friendships, shifting that mindset. So instead of focusing on all of the hardship at home, I'd show up to school and I'd laugh with my friends, just socialize and have the best time together. So I radiated that optimism and positivity so much so that in junior high school, I think I was about 12 or 13, we had these annual awards. And one of the awards I received as voted by my peers was Always Happy.
Wow.
And I couldn't believe that. Well, I could believe it because I did embody that. I did embody that hope and positivity. It's all about our mindset. And I think the sooner that we embrace that, that we choose our reality, we choose what we focus on, the sooner we can empower ourselves to find that inner joy and just let that radiate out.
That's amazing. I mean, obviously, like when it comes to this mindset, what advice would you give to people now reflecting on it in terms of how to kind of unlock a more positive mindset?
I would say, like I would say, it's a choice. So our perspective and mindset is a choice. We can choose to see the negative, focus on that, let that expand and swallow us whole. Or we can choose to see the positive. So I chose to celebrate having these beautiful friendships. I chose to celebrate going to school, laughing with my friends, focusing on the positive. It's our choice. Where we set our attention to, what you give your attention to, that is what will expand. I would say always choose to see the good because we never just have all good or all bad in our life. There's always an array of emotion and what we fixate on will grow. So fixate on the good because we always do have good. It's never all bad or all, you know, just any one emotion.
I think that's so interesting.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, obviously, like as time has gone on, you have your age empowerment niche, which is so exciting. How would you define that for someone? What does age empowerment mean to you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So my purpose is to help people rewrite the narrative around aging and turn their fear of aging into excitement. And this is a huge task.
Massive.
Yes. This is huge. Massive. This is no easy like mission, but it's so important because I'm not about aging gracefully or, you know, aging with grace or whatever. It's about age on your terms, not based on social expectations and standards. Age how you want to age. If you want to get work done, do it, but do it because you are choosing that. If you don't, if you want to go gray, great. Celebrate it, own it, do it because that's what you want to do. So it's about really reconnecting to your true authentic self, undoing a lifetime of conditioning and taking your power back, making your own choices, living life on your own terms and aging on your terms.
I mean, I just am so curious to know, like, when did the concept of aging become a thing? Because I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but for me, when I was growing up, there was like a certain age that I couldn't wait to be. So like I spent like half of my childhood like, I can't wait to get older. On my 18th birthday, because in Hong Kong, you weren't allowed to drive until then. Some of us still haven't done this yet.
No, I haven't. Full disclosure, guys, I don't know how to drive. So if anyone wants to drive me around, please do.
Well, on the other hand, like on my 18th birthday, like that's what I wanted. I signed up for driving school. I got my provisional. Like that was like a real, real big deal. And I was like speeding through life to get to that age, to be able to like go clubbing and like fake IDs. Like, do you guys remember fake IDs?
No, because I would use yours.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. I had a really bad fake ID.
Yeah.
It was a Japanese fake ID.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was very random, but it just looked so fake.
And did it work?
Well,
did it work?
It worked.
Okay.
But I always think about it and I'm like, they must have just really wanted those kids in there buying those drinks. Like, yeah. like there was no way that I passed for 18 until I was like at least 18.
No, you still don't even. I don't even know. If
yeah,
you
passed
for 18 yeah,
now.
Yeah.
So actually,
yeah,
you probably still get ID'd now, right?
Of course. Yeah. And then sometimes I'm like, oh, I didn't bring my wallet. I can't go out. Sorry, guys.
Oh gosh.
Knowing full well that like I cannot get in without the ID.
Yeah, yeah.
But when did aging even cross your mind? Like, what was that point where you were like, no, my terms, like, I'm going to dictate this? What was that pivotal point for you?
Absolutely. When we're growing up, we're in such a hurry because we want all the perks and independence that being 18 allows, right? We want to be able to drink and go to clubs. And even it's 21 in the States, right? So you want to just expedite that process. But then when you do hit that age of like 20 plus, I think that's when society begins to instill that fear that, okay, it's okay to be 21, but you should want to be 21 forever because it's all downhill from here. This is, I guess, conditioning that kicks in at that age.
Yeah.
So for me, I would say my lowest point when it came to my age and realizing that I had a real issue with it was when I was 30 and my life felt like it was kind of falling apart and I was restarting my life all over again. And I felt like by 30, there's this tick box and we're meant to have achieved so many different things. We're meant to have, you know, met our life partner by then. We're meant to have our home by then. We're meant to have our dream career by then. And for me, I was just getting divorced at that age. I was moving country at that age and starting my life all over again. I just quit my career and had no idea what I was going to do next. In complete contrast to the social norm, it looked like my life was kind of falling apart. And that was a real low for me. Because of that pressure, I felt paralyzed. I felt not good enough. And it really prohibited and prevented it stunted my growth because I was so worried about keeping up with the social norms that I just couldn't move forward because I felt not enough. And that was paralyzing.
Wow.
So it was only like after many years of working through that, that I was able to take my power back.
I mean, it sounds like it was such a journey. I mean, especially because as South Asians or Indians, we're all Indian, but in terms of the broader South Asian
community,
I was like trying to think of a fancier word.
Yeah.
I can spell it. Diaspora, yes.
Yes,
that's the word. I love it. I'm getting complicated today.
Do your thing, girl.
But it's kind of a thing, like if you're not married by a certain age, it's like, what's wrong with you? And then if you're getting divorced at a certain age as well, that's an even bigger problem, I think. So how did you deal with all of that noise in terms of she's getting divorced, she's 30, and all of that at that same time?
Because they love a goss.
Yeah.
They love a goss.
Yes. So that didn't last for long, that bubble where, to be honest, I tried not to let that faze me too much. When I first realized that we were going to be separating, it was a huge slap in the face because no one gets married to get divorced. Of course, as the famous saying goes, I just didn't anticipate my life to go down like that. Like, I didn't think that was going to be my reality. Like, other people get divorced, not me. And so that was a big shock to the system. However, I think it was more a shock to my system. I wasn't really allowing myself to take in any noise around me, or I wasn't really hearing, you know, what other people were thinking and saying, because I was so concerned with my life falling apart and my life going wrong that I couldn't really listen to anything else. Like, that didn't affect me because I was so affected internally. But it didn't last long because I ended up moving. So I should probably give you a little bit of a backstory here. So just very briefly, I was born in the UK. I grew up in New Jersey. My parents split up. My dad moved to New Zealand because he has all of his side of the family there. I eventually moved as a teenager to New Zealand, partly did, you know, the rest of high school, uni, post-grad there. Then I moved to India at the age of 24 to explore my roots and culture and work as a journalist there. And then I ended up, after this whole separation and divorce, I traveled around a bit and then I decided to move back here. And then that's what I was explaining earlier when I was starting my life all over again for the fourth time.
Wow.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
How many continents is that?
Four.
Four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing, though.
It happens no matter what part of the world South Asians live in. You're still going to be impacted by these cultural standards and norms. I would say, again, just find some quiet time, go within and ask yourself, what do you truly want? And if the pressure of marriage and things, if that's getting to you, if that's not what you want, then just explain to your parents that you're not ready yet. You know, there's maybe this career that you want to pursue, a passion you'd love to pursue. I know it's easier said than done. And I know everyone has their own set of circumstances and upbringings and expectations, but all you can do is be true to you. First, you have to know what you want. Get very clear on that, because the clearer you are on what you want and what you want with your life, maybe there's a purpose or passion you want to pursue, that is going to really translate to your parents. They're going to feel your passion, your authenticity, and hopefully they'll understand that maybe it's not the right time for you. Well, I can't just say, you know, ignore everybody, turn your back on everybody, run away. That's not real.
That's not real life.
That's a movie.
That's a movie. That's a Bollywood movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's not real life. So it's about you understanding who you are first. What do you want? When do you want these things? And if you don't know, that's okay too. Take your time. Just, you know, let your parents know, let your family know you need time. You're not sure what you want right now. This is serious. You can even give examples of friends you know who have rushed into decisions and their lives have fallen apart or not worked out as planned. You know, give real examples. Be true to yourself.
So important.
Yeah, it is so important. I mean, going back to the point of your different nationalities, because you have four.
Yes.
Different ones. And you were raised at different points in your life in those countries as well. In terms of your upbringing, like, how did living in these places make you the person you are today?
Not really identifying with one particular nationality. Obviously, I feel like if anyone asks me where I'm from, I always say I'm Indian, right? I'm very proud of my heritage, very proud of my ethnicity, my culture. But beyond that, I think living in four different places, it's made me a global citizen. I'm just a child of the world. If I could create my own place, you know, like my own planet, I would. Moon world, let's call it.
Moon world.
If I could create moon world, I would. I would say there's no one place that I really identify with or one place where I feel like I truly belong. I just feel like a global citizen.
Speaking of belonging, when you were growing up there, did you always feel like you belong?
Not really. So America, growing up there, that's all I knew at that time. But moving to New Zealand, I felt very out of place.
Wow.
I did not feel like I belonged there. I did not feel like that was my home or my culturally. It felt like a bit of a mismatch because I had come from America. I was very vivacious and just, you know, American kids, completely different culture. And then you go to New Zealand, it's like quite a contrast. It's a bit more reserved. I remember coming from America, I used to wear like mini skirts and crop tops. And that was cool as a teenager. Everybody did it. And going to New Zealand and dressing like that, I went to this all girls private school. And I remember being called a slut for wearing mini skirts and stuff. So it was a bit of a shock. And for me to feel like I belong there, I focused on the positive of the place. And I tried to carve out my own path there. And I brought my passions to that culture and that place. So this all girls private school that I went to, I started up a dance team there because I grew up as a dancer in America. We didn't have a dance team there. So I brought that there. And I really tried to live my best life there. So I started up this dance team. We were perform competitively and just for performance wise. I remember I got us a dance teacher as well. Like, I used to go for dance classes in Wellington, in the city where I was living. And one of the teachers there, I asked her, I was like, can you be our teacher for my school? She came in, she was our official dance coach and really built that team up. Then when I went to university, I joined the dance team there. So also how can you belong? It's by finding your passions, joining communities, finding your like-minded, you know, whatever like common interests you have, go for that, because you will always find a community and you'll create your own.
I think that's great advice, to be honest. And I think it's something that a lot of people can relate to, especially with the way that the world's moving. I mean, in this room right now, you can't see our crew, but it's very, very diverse in terms of different nationalities and different places and different parts of the world. So yeah, I think fitting in is always something we're always going to have a little bit of a struggle with, and definitely feeling a sense of belonging.
And I think we felt the same way growing up as
but
well.
Also, we were very ugly.
That is true. Moon, I said you were ugly. We were ugly.
Oh, trust me. We all had that ugly duckling phase. Every one of us. There's no teenager that wasn't awkward. So
I guess, yeah. Speaking of ugly and beauty, I wanted to ask you about the beauty industry, because I feel like it is something that, to an extent, promotes but also hinders aging. And I wanted to get your perspective on it at the moment. What do you think that they could do to improve the perception of aging?
Start by changing the language around aging. That's actually one of my key steps in my age empowerment niche. So if people come to my workshops, one of the steps is changing the language you use around aging. So instead of anti-aging, they could say pro-aging, or they could even use something like age empowerment. Like, that's so beautiful. This is why I use the term age empowerment, because it's like, your age is only a strength. It's only going to empower you. So I'd say they can change the language. One thing that needs to change for sure is targeting children. So there's this whole phenomenon now called Sephora Kids.
Yes.
Right? And now the beauty industry is going after preteens. So 10 to 12, 13 kids of that age. And they are basically creating skincare lines for kids which have this anti-aging language.
Yeah.
They're 10.
Yeah.
It's very alarming. This is very alarming. So this is why the work I do is needed now more than ever before, because it's showing children from a young age that it's okay. This is a normal part of life, and to empower them not to fear it. Because now what's happening is kids that are 10 are begging their parents for expensive skincare with retinol. It's a real thing. My cousin, her daughter, so my niece, has been, again, same thing. All of my niece's friend group, really, really demanding this type of skincare. They, instead of now wanting to get toys, when I was their age, I would beg my dad to buy me Barbie dolls and toys. Now the kids are begging for retinol.
Wow.
And products with active ingredients. It's alarming and shocking.
It's dangerous as well, because yes, there's a lot of repercussions to a lot of the chemicals and a lot of the formulations in skincare that are just not appropriate for kids. I know that a lot of companies have come out and said, like, yeah, we are, but I mean, it's not. There's like a completely different testing regimen for kids, and you know, it's different in every country, and so I find it slightly unbelievable, but yeah.
It's a bit shocking, honestly, just because they don't need that. They should just be carefree and happy and like experiment and have fun. But I think because they've grown up in a way where we haven't, whereby they're on social media constantly and they're looking on their selfie cams more than we ever did in those formative years, of changing the way that they see themselves, because they're seeing themselves too much.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, technology has allowed us to really stare at ourselves.
Yes, the good and the bad. But in terms of staring at yourself, obviously there is not used
my favorite thing to do.
I met Moon, guys. It was like this. She didn't even look at me. I'm joking. Imagine that.
What a story.
That would have been a story of a lifetime. No, it's not true. But in terms of this whole era of undetectable injectables, which are growing really massively, and a lot of celebrities who are hitting their early 40s, late 30s, even early like 30s, they're looking so different to the way that they did like 10, 15 years ago, because they're kind of being, you know, targeted by the media because of the way they look and things like that. But what impact does this have on people's willingness to embrace age empowerment if there's this other conversation happening, which is all like, you can do this, that, and the other, no one will ever know, and you look better than ever?
Well, that's what I said earlier. It's really up to people to decide what works for them, because I'm not against any type of work or treatments. Do that because you want to do it for you, not because you feel pressure from society or to keep up with a beauty standard or norm. Do whatever you need to do for you. My ethos around age empowerment is authenticity, going inward, asking yourself, who am I? What is aligned with me? What do I want? If some kind of procedure is going to make you genuinely feel happy and great, and you're shutting out, blocking out all the noise, that's fine. Do you. But if you're doing it because you're feeling these pressures and you feel like you have to hit a certain type of beauty standard and norm, then that's when you need to question it. So obviously, I think it's dangerous that we have so many things out there and that we're pushing and promoting it. It is. It's dangerous. It's very damaging for our sense of self-worth. We feel like we need to look 25 eternally. And that's, again, that's, there's a lot of pressure in today's world around that. And I don't think we had that in previous generations. I don't think we had that pressure to look 25 for life. And now, yeah, it's a whole nother ball game.
It's funny because reflecting on our conversation as well, it seems like we're speeding up the young ones wanting to look older with the, you know, adult skincare and beauty routines and Sephora kits. And then we're speeding up the desire to stay young and stay perpetually 25 with the generation above 20, really. So it's just really scary, but also really interesting. And I love the approach of you do you, because for me, like, I have certain standards that I would like to, but that's something that I want to maintain, and it's a choice. And it's, you know, even down to like grays or Botox or, you know, filler or whatever it may be, or treatments, or, you know, some people really love the idea of experimenting and others really don't. And I think it's great that there is a choice and it shouldn't be an external pressure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it is just turning into a pressure though, because there is so much. And on TikTok, there's so many people that are constantly like promoting it all the time. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing it more as well because of social media.
I love social media, but it is giving me brain rot.
Yeah, 100%. You have eternal brain rot now.
It could be also because of your niche, like being in beauty, then you're constantly seeing that, because I look at like motivational quotes and stuff. So I'm constantly seeing that. And then a lot of like zodiac stuff as well, because I'm a sucker for a horoscope. So I get those kind of things popping up. So again, it's like just because I think social media is, it can be whatever you want it to be. So it can be very toxic or very uplifting, depending upon where you put your focus.
Yeah.
So mine is all on like the motivation and the empowerment and the connecting side. I've made some of my best friends on social media as well. So even my friend whose outfit this is, Sarah Regensburger, she's, we met when she's a vegan fashion designer and I used to be a vegan fashion blogger. And so we connected because, again, that like-minded tribe, you know, your vibe attracts your tribe. So, and now she's, yeah, one of my best friends.
I love that. And segue so nicely into my next question, which is about veganism. So we wanted to know a little bit about that and how it's transformed you, in your opinion.
Well, veganism is everything to me. It's a lifestyle. So it's not a diet. It's your ethos. And veganism is about anti-animal cruelty. It's being an advocate for animals, having that ahimsa, which is a view of non-violence, right? So ahimsa means non-violence, not causing harm to any living being, protecting and having compassion towards all living beings. I've been vegetarian since I was a kid. I grew up actually in a divided household. So my mom was strict vegetarian, never ate meat, never drank alcohol, never smoked a cigarette in her life. And then my dad's side of the family were, you know, a bit wilder. So they, you know, a lot of Sikh Punjabi families consume alcohol and have a meat-heavy diet. As a child, I was a bit conflicted and both of my parents would try to influence me, but I always loved animals growing up. So when I was about, I think, 7 or 8, I decided, I'm like, animals are my friends. I love them. I can't hurt them. It doesn't feel right to eat a hamburger or pepperoni pizza. It just didn't sit well. So I stopped, became vegetarian. And it's when I moved to London that I started to learn more about veganism. So what I learned through like PETA videos and exposés when I was doing some research is that the dairy industry is at par with the meat industry. It's as cruel, if not more cruel than the meat industry and the leather industry as well. It's not a byproduct of meat, it's its own industry. So this was all very eye-opening and shocking for me. And as soon as I learned this information, I became vegan overnight. So for me, vegan is just taking a stand and being true to who I am. Again, rebelling, this says rebel, so rebelling against social norms and conditioning and making my own choices that are in alignment with me. So again, I think like this self-empowerment niche and world is so appropriate for me because I think everything I do, I really try to empower myself and others to make choices for themselves. So yeah, that's why it's important to me.
Amazing as well, and I can see how it's being adopted in your practice that you do as well. But my question is more for our listeners and viewers about how people get in touch with you.
I absolutely love to connect with people. It's one of my favorite things is to connect with like-minded people, and any questions people have or interest in my work, they can reach me on Instagram at moon.onyx. O-N-Y-X dot star with a double R. So that would be the best way to just send me a DM. They can email me moon@moononyxstar.com.
Amazing. And before you go, we have our 3 quick fire beauty questions. We ask them to everyone, but I must ask you, are you ready?
I'm super ready.
Great.
Let's go.
So the first question is, what's one beauty rule you love breaking?
I've broken it now, but I might not later. So far, it's been not having any Botox or filler and being in my 40s. I think being a woman in my 40s in today's world and not having had any is kind of breaking the rules.
Amazing.
Over to me. If you could give your younger self one piece of beauty advice, what would it be?
Don't fixate on external beauty. Because your real true beauty comes from within. Just being true to who you are, being true to yourself, is the most beautiful you'll ever be and look. So just radiating that inner beauty.
That's so nice.
And don't worry about your peers, don't compare yourself, don't like think that you're the ugly duckling and everyone else.
What if it's back? Yeah. I'll show you pictures.
We'll exchange our pictures later.
Last one. What's a beauty moment, good or bad, that you will never forget?
Would be when I decided to shave my head. First, I went short. So going short, then shaving it, then having it like even this length is probably the most liberating thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
And I really recommend that every woman at some point in their life just goes short. It's so empowering because as women, we're so used to hiding behind our hair. But with this, it's like, you're just like out, you're just there. And I couldn't have done this. It's only with age, self-work, and building that confidence that I could get to this state of like, feeling so empowered that I can rock this look. So I'd say that's, yeah, probably my most liberating beauty moment ever. And then I have another one, which is more of a fashion moment, but you guys are fashionistas, so I can share this.
Yes.
It's when I did my first age empowerment talk at Soho House Greek Street, and I was wearing this really kind of sexy, sassy bralette from Stella McCartney. It was like a black bralette with these gold chains, but I had a blazer on top buttoned up. And that was gonna be my look for the evening with a pair of like really nice jeans. And then when, right before I got on stage, my friend was like, unbutton your blazer. And I'm like, oh, I couldn't possibly. Everything is going to be on display, like, because it's like a bikini top, right? So that means like your whole stomach is out, like chest, like everything is on display. And I was like, I couldn't possibly. and my friend's like, just trust me on this. Like, you look the best you've ever looked. Like, why are you hiding? So right before I went on stage, I unbuttoned my blazer and I went up there and it was like, oh, I never felt like more sexy or empowered.
Wow.
It was such a freeing moment. So I'd say, yeah, that as well.
Amazing. Before we officially wrap up, we have our Oracle card segment.
Yay! So you'll my favorite. I love Oracle cards.
Feeling this one. Remove any obstacles you might have in the way.
Ooh, I like that.
So it's like you can see she's becoming very raw and real by taking off her makeup. Mm. Very you. But Moon, this has been such an uplifting conversation that we've had with you, and we've learned so many different things today. And we've absolutely loved it.
I just think it's been so nice to see every chapter of your life and the little snippets of the travel and the different lives that you've lived. I feel like you had so much wisdom and energy, and just thank you for coming on and sharing that with us.
Thank you guys so much. It's been such a delight. You're like the loveliest pair, loveliest sisters. And yeah, it's been an honor. So thank you so much for having me.
Amazing. Thank you.